You see, when I get bored, I make up my own movie.
You're listening to Distracted.
Pay attention to me, boy.
And Confused.
Are you not entertained?
Nope.
All right. Welcome back to Distraction. Distracted and Confused. Sorry, my mic is all the way over here. And
your mind is all the way over there.
My mic is all the way over there. And we are doing our end of the year kind of recap of 2020. And so we'll keep this sweet and short. But when we say sweet and short, it's usually an hour long episode.
And it's usually short and sweet.
Yes. So we have on our producer, Tim. We have on Jordan. We're not doing any guests, I guess. Is Tim a guest at this point?
I guess if I'm talking, I could be considered.
I guess you're on the payroll, so. I guess just part of the gang. So what we're doing this episode is kind of recapping 2020. Like we said, are doing a draft of our top five TV shows or movies, kind of most memorable things that happened in 2020. That's in a positive way. We're not going to go on the negative. We're going to say positive things and what we liked about movies and TV shows of this year. Obviously, it's been a crazy year. Movie theaters died pretty much. So, yeah, it's been a crazy year. But we're wrapping it up. Jordan, are you excited for this draft? You think you're going to win?
I think we're all going to be competing for the same, like, three shows. And then we'll see who lands what.
Yeah, so Jordan said I can pick the draft order based on me beating him in fantasy, so I do appreciate that.
That is true. And I will, fantasy champion, Tim, right here.
Yes, it was a Distracted and Confused championship, though, so we all won money. Tim Rendell did not, unfortunately, but maybe that's okay. But
I'm protesting the results.
Jordan was winning.
Yeah, I was winning by like 70-0, and then all of a sudden overnight I lost. So
yeah, so that's yeah.
And I didn't once use a stop the count joke. So that's on me. My
yeah,
bad.
No, good job. That's awesome. So we bring our producer Tim. I don't remember the last time you talked. I probably a couple episodes ago, maybe. But
I talked a lot today, just not to you.
Yeah, that's true. What's been on your watch list for this week, or I guess and since the last time you talked to us?
All right. So I know other people have talked about it, so I won't go into details, but I did just watch The Queen's Gambit, which was quite good. It's quite interesting. So, you know, just another plug for people that want to go out and watch that, they should. But I did just watch yesterday The Hunt for the Wilder People for the first time. So that was Taika Waititi's first, well, maybe not his first movie, but I think it's his first big budget movie that he did in New Zealand. Have you guys seen it?
I want to. I tried to play the trailer for Sabrina, and she said no, so I have to watch it on my own.
How old is it?
Ooh, that's a good question. 2016, maybe?
Okay.
That was going to be my guess, and I have no idea why, because I haven't seen it.
It's 2016. Nice. Good Whoa. Guess.
Didn't even know it.
All right, I win trivia round one.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. So, yeah, September 20th.
And it's worth watching, Tim?
Yeah, it's worth watching, and it's on Netflix right now, so it can't be any easier. But definitely worth watching.
How funny is it?
It's kind of like a Taika Waititi film where there's definitely funny elements throughout the entire thing, but there's also kind of serious and drama parts as well.
The trailer looks really serious, but then the more I've learned about Taika, I'm like, well, there's got to be more to this.
Yeah, the storyline itself is somewhat serious, but there's comedy built throughout. It's not something that you go leaving feeling bad or anything like that. It's a feel-good movie.
Got it.
Nice.
But there's serious elements, so don't want to give spoilers, but you guys should watch it.
We appreciate that.
Yes.
Next up, what else you got for
Come on, you got the last one. I'm waiting for you to talk about.
Sorry. And then I've watched, there's a new Netflix show. There's the holiday movies that made us. And I think it's an extension of the movies that made us, where they go back and just do like an hour-long documentary on movies. And they did Elf. So it was really interesting to learn about the making of Elf and Will Ferrell's first role in like as a lead man, and Jon Favreau's one of his early successes as a director. So worth the watch particularly around Christmas time.
Definitely.
What channel or what network is that on?
That's on Netflix as well.
Ooh, nice.
So I would check out all those ones. So they did Elf. They also did The Nightmare Before Christmas. But then you can find The Movies That Made Us, not just The Holiday. And they have, I think it's Die Hard, Ghostbusters, Home Alone. It might be Dirty Dancing is the last one. I don't know. I didn't watch that one. But they are really good. And they're almost edited to the vein of like something from VH1. The way that it like bounces around so fast. And like the narration and the way that they fill in the gaps with the interviewer. It's or the interviewee. It's entertaining and it keeps you going. You learn a lot. Some stuff. I suggested it to my dad the other day because I thought it was so fun.
Yeah, and it reminds me of the show that I recommended, but it's so hard to find on anywhere online. I think it's on YouTube, but you have to pay for it. It's The Writer's Room, and it's where all like the writers of the show get together in a room, talk about how they created the show, kind of go over what made these episodes, you know, stick out, how did they get to the network they're on, stuff like that. So kind of the same basis, but it was for like Breaking Bad, Dexter, and some really popular shows. So that's another one, kind of the same kind of realm as The Holidays That Movies That Make Us too.
That sounds really cool, actually. I'm going to have to go look into that.
I can't find it, though, because usually I can illegally stream everything I want to. That's one of the things I can't illegally stream, and it's very frustrating. but I think it's on Red YouTube, if someone has that. I don't know if people buy YouTube now. It's kind of a weird thing to have a subscription for.
Yeah, it was. I think that was like big a while ago, but I think it folds into YouTube TV. So if you get your streaming through that, then I think you get... Because remember they were trying to do like all the premium shows with like Jake Paul or whatever Paul brother that was. And they had like TV show. I think that's where Cobra Kai started, was YouTube Red.
Cool. Did I know? Yeah, you're right. I thought that had kind of stopped, though. I didn't realize that was still a thing, but
I think it...
Oh, okay. So did. The Writer's Room is on Amazon Prime.
There you go.
Oh, look at that.
I can watch
that. I have that, Tim. I can help you watch that.
That's the first thing that came up. Oh, it's ended with the guy from Community, Jim Rash. If that he's the prince, or not the principal, the dean of the school.
Yeah.
So that's a very good watch. I recommend that, as well as what producer Tim also put on his list. And really quick for mine too, I watched Elf, the best Christmas movie of all time. Christmas Vacation that got voted for last week. And producer Tim also wanted to mention that he stuck up for me last week when we eliminated Christmas Story round one, because that was a disgrace.
I don't care.
I completely agree.
Too bad it happened.
Yeah, a lot of Christmas movies. I didn't get a lot of stuff new in this week where it was really like anything to mention, but like I took Jordan's recommendation and did watch Auntie Donna YouTube skits. They have a show on YouTube or on Netflix now, if you don't know, where it's a bunch of random humor, kind of Portlandish, randomish, like kind of to that, but it's not a humor comedy thing. It's sketch comedy, but not something you probably are used to watching. So it's fun to watch. The YouTube videos are just as funny, just as random. Obviously, the show is well put together and well produced, but still well worth watching the YouTube videos as well as the show, if that's your comedy.
Right. Did you check out the Roll Call one?
Yes.
That one's really funny. My father, who never shows up to watch me read the Roll Call.
Yeah, it was all great.
Yeah.
That was kind of like the first episode where they do like looking for their housemate.
Yep.
And they go through all these different people. So yeah, good stuff.
Puppet. Puppet with a plant. Puppet with a plant.
With a puppet. Yeah, perfect. So that's all my list. That's all I got. So, Jordan, you're up.
So we both had good transitions out of the holiday movies that made us with Elf, because you went the Elf path. But I was going to jump in and say I watched last night Gallery, which is the making of The Mandalorian season 2. Last year they did it with they had like a round table, and I think it was like 6 episodes long, where they really got in depth on how they wrote it and how it came together. This time it's just like 60 minutes of a straight rip of the season. And the one thing that everybody's talking about at the end and how they did it is not included. So if you're looking for more information on how that came about, don't expect it there. Otherwise, it was good. Like, there's some cool stuff behind the scenes. You get to see George Lucas holding little baby Grogu in his hands. There's some cool stuff on how they made the... the armor and just like the original stuff they pulled back, and like people coming back into the fray that used to do things and making the models, and some of the things that like with, because you know how they do, they shoot in that like that big what do they call it, the volume, which is just a big TV screen. Some of the shots that, like, this year, because, like, now that you know that they shoot in front of that big screen, you're, like, looking for that. Like, where does the real life end? And
yeah.
The one time I was, like, so convinced, I'm like, that's where the screen's at, I was completely wrong, and that's not where the screen was at. So I was like, all right, well, good. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, and I just sit back and stop looking for that.
Yeah, and I couldn't remember if Nerd Al showed me this or it was you, but they said, like, the people who made the Stormtrooper suits, like, are some kind of nerd fan club that, like, makes it on their own just for fun.
Yeah, I think it's the 501st is what they call themselves, the 501st. Yeah.
Yeah, so they made the Stormtrooper gear, and they got to be in the episodes as well as the Stormtroopers, which is pretty cool. Like, just some behind-the-scenes stuff you wouldn't know unless you watch the stuff or just are a nerd and look it up yourself.
So. Right, so that was in Season 1, which was funny because they got to cheap out, because most of these guys that have made their own armor, it looks better than the shit that, like, they were putting together. So why pay to put it together? And then these guys literally practice on their marches at, like, these conventions and shit. So, like, they came in and they were telling other people how a Stormtrooper stands and everything.
Yeah, so, that's incredible.
Hey, they're built in.
With the shine.
Yeah. Outside of that, I watched Wonder Woman 84 and Soul, which were the two movies that released this week. There was another one, but I did not get to it. Soul, very, very good.
I think, as your brother would explain it, it's very colorful. Would that be a way to explain it?
I would say no.
Oh, okay.
I think this is the least colorful Pixar movie, and probably the one that is most geared toward adults. It definitely has a lot of, like, if you did not like Inside Out, you're probably not going to like this one. It's by Pete Docter, who did that. It's along the same vein. It's very into appreciation of life and your purpose within it. So it's very deep, very well done.
So are kids gonna like it?
I don't think so. Like, I really don't. Like,
go on.
There's no music, there's not really colorful characters. Sorry, Tyler. It's just it's very adult.
Interest, because, like, well, now we don't have movie theaters, but if you brought, like, your kids to the movie theater thinking, oh, we're gonna see a Pixar movie,
right,
you know, this is gonna be great, and then all of a sudden you're like going, like, well, that was not for my kid, like, I enjoyed it, but the kid just wanted to eat popcorn and do nothing. So
there's a little slapstick, but I would say that this is an adult movie, so be prepared for that when you check it out. It is good. Outside of that, I watched Wonder Woman 84. Tim and Ashlyn have done a review for us, which we are going to be putting at the end of the show because it is spoiler heavy.
Whose idea was that?
So I texted Tim because Tim in our group was like, spoiler alert, hates it. Absolutely hates it. So he was like bashing on it. And I think it was good because I went into it thinking, like, this is a DC movie, it's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
and I think it does fall apart at a certain point. But I thought for the most part, I enjoyed it enough where I was just like, yeah, you know what? It's not a Marvel movie. It's not as good as the first one. And the last act is not great, but I appreciated what they were trying to do. Tim hates it. Absolutely fucking hates it. So you can check out their review at the end of this. It came about because I texted him on the side and I was like, hey, like, you can text me off to the group so that you're not like spoiling it for anybody, but like, what, you know, why did you think that? So he was like, we'll do a review. So him and Asher recorded it. It's very good. It's at the end of this. We will also be putting it out as a separate episode for those who are trying to avoid spoilers and maybe don't want to try to fast forward and find where we put it at the end. So
there you go. Perfect. And then I'll wait for this. I found some breaking news on Instagram while I was half listening to your so, but I'll say that for the news. And do we have anything else we want to add before moving on to there?
Let's go to the news.
I don't want to hear about this breaking news.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Okay, so now it's time for news, and I really wish that we had a breaking news soundbite, but I was too lazy to create one for this moment. Tim, but you got to just start us off. What is the breaking news?
Okay, so this is a, you know, it's a speculation, so it's not for sure true, but I want to jump on as soon as possible. It was posted, okay, 3 hours ago. Well, I'm a little behind, but who cares? I'm seeing it for the first time.
They don't know when we recorded this.
Yes, okay, yes.
It is breaking.
For our Bachelor fans, so Chris Harrison, one of the best kind of hosts we've had on TV for a long time, been doing it for a while, he supposedly is moving to Texas, fueling a Bachelor exit rumors. So if he leaves The Bachelor, that'd be a big loss for Bachelor, Bachelorette fans, as he kind of did somewhat make the show. He was one of those like TJ Lavin for The Challenge. He's almost a part of the show too. So if he left the show, that would be a big hole to fill forever who would, you know, replace hosting it if that was a possibility.
Yeah, I think we should just get right into that. I was asking Sabrina earlier this year, when the heck is he going to like be done? Like, he's been doing this for so long. And then they had one of the former contestants do an episode or two this year in his stead where he left for a little while. She was not good. She just did not have... Like, it takes a certain kind of personality to host and hold a show, right?
Oh, yeah.
And she just doesn't have that experience. It was, I don't remember who the contestant was. I'm not very big into this, obviously. But I'd be interested to see who they can, because I feel like if they can get somebody with some charisma, because he is always that, like, steadying force, right? I'm wondering if they can bring some sort of punch to the show it needs just to... You know, they're already ruffling feathers behind the scenes, right? These producers are putting you in a position where that's really awkward. Like, just have the guy just right out in front make it awkward. I might watch more.
Chris Harrison is so self-aware and so good at what he does. He always puts people on the spot, makes sure he calls people out when it's necessary. So I think him being gone is a huge gap to fill. Even if they get a former contestant who is somewhat witty and
I want, like, Kevin Hart. Just give me Kevin Hart. He'd be like, what the fuck are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure Tim, do you have any opinions on this?
No opinion, but I thought it was really funny how you compared it to the former host of The Challenge. Thought that was fitting.
Not former.
Or the host of The Challenge. Yes. I just thought it was funny how you compared the situation to The Challenge.
Yes, I always throw in the challenge loss or something like that. But no, because TJ Lavin is such a big part of the challenge itself. Like, contestants have said, if TJ Lavin isn't hosting, I'm not going to be on the show. So to be that part of it, like, the contestants are supposed to be the big part of it. TJ Lavin, like, when he's on the show, he says, this is my final. This is my challenge. This is my thing. Like, he's almost a part of the show now. Like, you can't get rid of him even if you wanted to.
So I want to look up who the odds-on favorite would be to replace him.
That's a great question. I'm sure it's some kind of betting site already, like if there was a replacement. Okay. It's got to be
who's the guy that did – I guess maybe – yeah, maybe you're right.
Nick Falal. Nick Falal. That's all I got, because I know he does a podcast, so he's somewhat got a personality, and he already talks – knows the Bachelor people, so that's my guess.
Yahoo Sports on August 14th wrote an article saying that Chris Harrison is not happy. He's been replaced on The Bachelorette.
That's obviously
temporarily replaced. Yeah, obviously this is very quick line. JoJo Fletcher was the temporary host. Yeah, I don't know.
Honestly, I have no idea who would potentially be a new host.
Who was the guy that did American Idol for so long? What's his
name? Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, Ryan Seacrest.
He could do it.
I don't think he would.
I wouldn't tune in for it.
Better things to do than that, right? I guess I don't know. What's he doing? Doesn't he host like a morning show or something?
Yeah, it's with him and Kelly. What's her name? Ripa?
Oh, have you seen Burning Love?
No.
Okay, it's a parody of The Bachelor, Bachelorette. So whoever that guy is, I'm gonna look up who it is. He should host it because he already hosted a fake show of it.
Yeah, so I looked up like who people think, and they're all like former contestants. So I had no idea who any of them were.
Yeah, I think we can move on from that.
Yep.
Oh, Michael Ian Black, that's his name.
Oh, okay, I know who he is.
Yeah, so we can move on. He's good.
Okay, so outside of that, really slow news week, obviously, because of the holiday. One thing that came out is Warner Brothers plans to release up to 4 DC movies a year starting in 2022. And those will be in theaters. Obviously, I think that is a trying to make good back to the movie theaters. Other than that, Cobra Kai Season 3 has its release date moved up to Friday on Netflix. So that is exactly the New Year's Day. So if you're sitting around New Year's Day, you can binge Cobra Kai Season 3. Then I think we're a little late on this news, but Mad Max has had a prequel in the works for a while. They've just announced, or at some point, announced that Anna Taylor-Joy, who you know from The Queen's Gambit, will be playing Furiosa in that movie, and Chris Hemsworth will be a co-star. It will release June 23rd, 2023. I stumbled through that pretty good. Anything stand out to you guys?
Just that Warner Brothers seems like just calling for help now. Like now that everyone did at the Marvel did the release and everything's been released, they're kind of like, hey, we're doing stuff too. Look at us. And I don't like it. So I'm just like,
what 4 movies would you even want to see from DC? Like Batman and that's it. Right. I mean, yeah. I don't want to see anything else. I mean, I guess Suicide Squad, that seems cool with James Gunn. Like I just, you know, what he did with Guardians, it might be interesting. But outside of that, I don't need any more Aquaman. I don't need any more of The Flash. I don't really care about any of them. I don't care about this Justice League re-edited Snyder Cut bullshit. Like, what are they going to do? I know. The other thing, I guess, is news. Wonder Woman 3 is already in the works with Gal Gadot and Godot. And, shit, what's the director's name? Her. The director.
Isn't she doing Star Wars?
I know Maggie. Her name.
Patty Jenkins.
Jenkins.
Yep.
So they are both coming back to do Wonder Woman 3. That's it. Anybody want to talk about anything? No?
Well, I just want to say that I completely agree with Tim's kind of perception of this Warner Brothers with 4 DC movies. I don't see where they're going to go with this. I feel like Marvel's kind of beating them out and already had this big announcement and they kind of feel they need to say something, but
yeah,
unless they do like a reboot of like one superhero and they do it super well, like they did with the Dark Knight trilogy, I'm not going to be super amped for anything that DC puts out.
Agreed. Like take Batman and see where it goes. You know, the trailer looked really cool. Let's see if it's good. Like put your eggs in that basket.
Yeah.
I don't need to see any more of this Justice League, anything that Zack Snyder's done, but I have a feeling Zack Snyder's going to be here for the long haul, and that's disappointing.
Yeah, that's fair. That's all we got.
On to our discussion, Tim.
So we're going to move on to our draft of Best of 2020. So this is kind of like Best, but also most memorable. So I'm not looking for 100% Rotten Tomatoes. I'm not looking for Oscar-nominated movies. I'm not looking for any of that. This is the most memorable. What stuck out to you in 2020 as the best TV show or best movie or short series? So it's pretty open-ended. There's not a lot of rules. So it's going to be pretty easy not to screw it up. I know producer Tim said it is one thing that might not be allowed, but we'll see when it gets there. And like Jordan said, I get to pick the draft order, and I want to see what Jordan does with number one, because I want to see, because we, like we said, we have an idea of what's going to be picked first. So I want to see where Jordan's head at. I'm going to let him go first, me go second, and producer Tim go third on the snake draft order.
Okay, so if I'm going first, I'm taking the feel-good show of the year that everybody on our show we've suggested to and has come on later and talked about, and that is Ted Lasso. There is nothing that has brought more joy to me in 2020 visually than Ted Lasso. It's just, it was perfect. That's exactly what I needed in 2020. I will take that happily.
I'm a little surprised by the pick, knowing there's some more nerdy stuff on the list for you. but I don't hate the pick. And I think one thing that I noticed about my list was with my ranking system, was I like to put newer stuff on there instead of like season four or something, season three or something, based on getting something new and refreshing. And I think that's what Ted Lasso was. And I think we talked about Ted Lasso for probably like 8 straight weeks. So, I mean, it's not a terrible pick at all in my head, but I just didn't expect it from you.
That's, you know what? If I'm picking first, you guys would both have 2 picks before I got to go. And that's the one where I feel like if I walked away without that, I would be disappointed.
I'm not going to lie. I completely thought I was going to get that at the 3rd pick. So I thought for sure you were going to go with something else, which will probably get picked relatively soon.
Yeah.
So, good luck.
I guess right. You're up.
So, yeah, now I'm a little lost. Not lost, well, but
I've gotten at the 3rd pick then.
I wanted Jordan to pick this, so it would be off the board and I can just kind of move on. But I'm going to go with I'm going to go with what my number one pick was, and I'm going with Dave with the Little Dicky Show. That kind of surprised me because I thought it was going to be somewhat of a joke of a show where it didn't really, it just seemed too much at first. But when I watched it, it was actually really good writing. Acting was all right. I don't expect Little Dicky to be a great actor, but it just was a very refreshing, creative comedy, somewhat kind of like Atlanta, but I guess a little more goofier in that sense of it. But I love that show. I'd watch it I would hope there's more seasons in like 5 or 6 seasons to come. He did a great job with his first season of it, and I'm impressed, and that's why it's my number one pick.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a good pick. How many seasons do you think he can realistically do, though? That's four. One kind of thought process I have. Like, it seems there's a finite number of episodes he can create.
Really? I thought it could go on for a while.
Yeah, I think 4 is pretty fair, though.
I think he could get to the point of like really actual good. Fame, and then, you know, dealing with actual fame, and then maybe not living up to. Those are, you know, seasons unto themselves. I think there's a while he can go. And that was definitely on my list, so I don't know if I would pick that high.
That actually wasn't on my list. I completely forgot that was even a thing in 2020, but I did like that show quite a lot. So,
yeah. So, I'll say this really quick. I was looking it up, trying to do some research. I forgot some of these shows were from 2020. It seemed like it was made 2 years ago, some of these shows, like Dave. So I was very surprised that it was from 2020, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I probably could have picked it later, but I'm happy with my pick. So I'm going to let producer Tim go, and he gets back-to-back picks.
All right, well, my first pick, I'm going to go with The Boys from, I think it was season 2 maybe specifically. I'm not sure if we need to go by season, but that was the one show or one of the shows this year where I actually enjoyed going down to sit down and watch like weekly or whatever it was. It was just really well done. So that's my first pick.
Yeah, I'll mention really quick too on that. I didn't pick that one only because it was season 2. Like season 1 hit me so hard. I'm like, oh, like this show is awesome. And like season 2 is pretty damn good itself, but not as good as season 1, I thought. But so that's why I didn't think it was a first round pick for me, just because I've seen it. I was expecting, I don't know what I was expecting, but I still liked it. It would have been a second round pick for me, but just because it wasn't the newest show, it wasn't my first round pick.
Yeah, well, I watched season 1 and season 2 all at once in 2020. So for me, it all felt like one continuous 2020.
That makes sense.
But I'm hoping that counts. Like the season 2 is definitely 2020.
Yeah.
And then my number next pick is The Last Dance.
Okay.
That was another one that was super fun to watch. And you know, us being from Chicago, I think it had a little bit more meaning to us. And growing up during the tail end of the Jordan era in Chicago was quite fun.
Yep, that was going to be my next pick. I'm disappointed it's gone. That sucks. But it's a great pick. And and that was right when there was no sports happening. So it was supposed to come out at a later date after the NBA playoffs were done. Then obviously things got changed. And all of a sudden we're in a burden where there's no sports going on for any huge sports fans. And The Last Dance came in and gave us something to watch every Sunday. And like we said, with Game of Thrones, it was like a must watch TV show every Sunday. Just that you had to watch, you had to sit down, get with the group maybe, or like just watch and have popcorn with it, or just kind of make it an appointment television show. So I think it's a great pick.
Agreed.
Perfect. Okay. So I'm going to go next. And I didn't think producer Tim would take this, so I knew it would kind of fall back to me. And I'm going to go with The Mandalorian season 2. So I picked this one because I knew Jordan would pick it from the next one. And two, this was – and like I thought season 1 was better because, like I said, I think season 2 is more about getting to the Star Wars nerd a little more. But this was, once again, I think appointment television, for at least for me and Nerd Al watching it, as well as it made you get excited for Star Wars again. I feel like there was an excitement, like even with the last movie that came out in December, it wasn't as exciting as what Mandalorian has been for us to watch and kind of recap. So I think that's been a big hit for this like last, I think, 8 weeks it's been on. So I'm a big fan of it, and that's why it's my second round pick.
Nope. Great pick. Great reasoning. I liked season 2. I mean, we've gotten into it a lot, so yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes, but yeah. I did not expect you to steal it right there. So
Jordan, I 100% expected that to be your number one pick.
That's what I thought.
No doubt. So I was like, I don't have to worry about him taking Ted Lasso from me.
No, I just felt like Lasso, I think, was just more, I don't know, it was just such a fun show. I was so looking forward to every episode. And I think it helped that Sabrina was very, you know, into it too, to the point where she was excited for Fridays so that Ted Lasso would come out. And I think it spurs that along when there's more than one person. And, you know, it was a community watch a little bit more. Which
yeah, Oh, sorry.
Well, what I was going to add to that, Jordan, is Patricia, who's not a sports fan or a soccer/football fan at all, was really looking forward to watch that every single week as well. I think that just goes to show how good the story is, that even though it's surrounded around sports, non-sports persons can still enjoy it just as much as somebody who likes it, you know, as a diehard.
Yeah. So, my pick again, and one thing that I don't want to lose out on, and I'm hoping this might have flown under the radar with you guys, so it might be a little high. But I'm going with Palm Springs.
Okay. I have not seen it yet.
Okay. It
was on my list. I don't know if I was going to pick it, though.
Okay. So a little high, but it was definitely one of those where I set my mind on I wanted to come out with three of these. Four of these, I knew I was only going to get maybe half. And, you know, the other ones I already went with The Boys and Mandalorian. Those are two that I wanted to take. So Palm Springs with Andy Samberg, I just thought was so entertaining. The best comedy, obviously, I've seen this year, in a year with really out any.
exactly,
so
yeah.
It stands out to me, and it's definitely worth a rewatch and something that I'm planning to get back to. I just thought it was well done. It was dark, funny, a little bit unexpected, even though it was doing something that was kind of a trope at this point. So I would suggest watching it. I'm glad it's on my list of top 20.
Yeah, and I was going to mention, after doing my research and I looked at like top comedies 2020, that list was very low, and it was not a good comedy year overall. Yeah. I think there was expectations of more comedy, but I just thought it was very lacking. And Palm Springs, I saw on the list. I haven't seen yet, but I know that when I do watch it, I'm going to enjoy it.
Yes, you definitely will. I think you will. So I get another one here, and so far my list is very kind of upbeat and, you know, comedy. I'm going to go, though, kind of split here because I'm trying to think about what's going to come back to me. I'm going to go Umbrella Academy season 2. Mm. It's I think it's one step down from The Boys, but to me it was still one of those I wanted to watch all the episodes quickly, and I just enjoy it. It's very different. Catches you off guard with that grittiness. So it is very similar to The Boys in that regard. And I definitely enjoyed when that came out. So
I will take it. Yeah. So I'm going to go with a pick that I think that producer Tim might take. And I'm going to go with Mythic Quest from Rob. I loved, like, once again, I wanted to pick something that was fresh. Dave and Mythic Quest, both season 1 shows, where I was just like, the idea of it just worked very well. Like, I didn't know what to expect, if it was going to be good, just like Dave, but it ended up being, every episode was very noteworthy and ended up working out very well. I'm always happy when an Always Sunny person does something well outside of that realm. So I was very impressed, and just season two, I'm looking forward to. I know they did the episode during quarantine, right?
Or yep.
They did some kind of special. I don't think I've ever seen that yet, which is...
I think it's the best episode yet.
I need to get on that. So I totally forgot about it. Maybe I'll just watch when it's closer to the new season. But
yeah, you might miss some of it because it was so for the time kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Like not being able to leave your home. So you might lose some of that. But yeah, I thought it was very, very well done. It was definitely the best quarantine episode because we had quite a few that came out.
Yeah, and the casting and general, just like the whole like storylines of each episode were awesome to me. And it was just very well done the whole time. So I'm happy with the pick.
Definitely. Good pick.
Producer Tim, were you going to take it?
It was definitely on my list. It was going to come in my, because I get two picks. So it's likely going to be in my next two picks. But my next pick's an easy one for me. And it's Tiger King, the documentary that kind of ruled a certain few months of 2020.
Seems going doc heavy.
Yeah, I got the two documentaries. Yeah.
So, producer Tim, I don't know if producer Tim is pandering or not, but his list looks pretty damn good with The Boys, Last Dance, Tiger King. It pretty much like elaborates what 2020 was a little bit almost. Like, I feel like those are three good picks. I don't know if he's pandering or just really picking from his heart, but it's a job well done so far.
No, well, it's not too much pandering because, I mean, if I was picking from my heart, I would have gotten some of the ones that you guys have already picked. My next one, I mean, it's starting to get a little bit more interesting, I'd say, because it's not as clear cut for me. But my next pick, I'm actually going to go with The Queen's Gambit, which we've all just kind of been talking about. Maybe there's some recency bias there. But it was a really enjoyable limited series, very well done, and it made chess interesting. Like, so that if you can do that, it's worth watching. I haven't heard anyone say anything bad about it yet, throw that one on the list as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's been got chess back on the board for people, so I've only heard good things. I've gotten through 10 minutes of one episode. I had to do something else. I was bored of it, but I think it's a great pick. I think you're not pandering. I think you just have a good taste in TV, Tim.
Yeah, thank you.
and like I said, I think right now, I'm looking at our list, we only have one movie on our list so far. So it kind of just shows this year what we did this last year 2020 or 2019 wrap up with all movies. We didn't do TV show. You can tell already how different this draft is just based on what we're picking already with TV shows and only one movie out of like 15 picks already.
Well, the other side of it too is not a single one of these things was produced for broadcast television. This is all streaming stuff so far.
Yeah.
So I think that's also showing how much the landscape has even changed just with Disney Plus, you know, Apple TV Plus, like all these things really hitting the market. You know, it's kind of changed where you go for television.
Yeah, particularly for our demographic.
Yeah.
You know, anybody born after, you know, 1990 or whatever, they're all cutting cable and sitting in the stream versus or whatever you want to call them.
Man, you are so distracted.
And me?
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. No, sorry. I was just trying to look up what my last one should be.
No, I know. I could tell that you were your mind was in several places at once.
I love it. It's a product of our own brand. So it is my pick though. So I'll let Tim think of his next pick while I go. And I was between a couple of these similar movies or TV shows, but I'm going to go with The Trial of Chicago 7.
Damn, I think it
is important.
That was going to be what I was taking right after you.
Yeah, so I had a couple ideas with it, but I think it is important with everything that's gone on this year. I think one of the things we learned through this podcast as well was kind of educating ourselves on the issues that were going on in the world with everything with Black Lives Matter and everything, what we're protesting for. And I don't think Trial of Chicago 7 was a perfect example of that. I think like 13 and some other movies really did a better job explaining it, but those were movies made not in 2020. Those were like 2016 and 2018 and 2019, which kind of shows the issues we've had all this time but are kind of going through again. But Trial of Chicago 7 was a great movie that still wrapped it up, but also went through many different issues. And it just really even ended, had a great ending, great story through the whole thing. And I was always captivated with everything going on. So that is my pick.
That is I'm glad that you said that, because that was something that I was thinking about too. I'm like, oh man, I feel like I've watched so much this year. And then I'm thinking like, yeah, but I did go back and watch a lot of the things that we've talked about, you know, that didn't come out this year that I'd missed, you know, originally. So, like the 13th and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that you mentioned that. But yeah, Trial of Chicago 7, that was exactly what I was gearing up to take right there. So.
Yep, sorry. And yeah, I was trying to get some comedy as well as some action as well as some like realness and what we can like really recap of what happened in 2020. So that was my goal.
Okay, so I got two back to back here.
These are your last two picks, so I'm making count.
Are they?
Yes, 4 and yep. 5.
No, that's uneven. What do I have so far? Oh yeah, that is. Yeah, 4 and 5. Okay. No, I was thinking like for some, because I'm used to going back to back, I forgot that I started and only went once. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with Schitt's Creek. I'm just going to take that because the final season came out this year. Another very kind of Ted Lasso-y style pick where it's very feel good. But it's just a really good show. This last season, I think, was probably even the best of it. So happy to have that one, although I really wanted previous one. And then last but not least, I know that you guys have not seen it, so I'm taking Soul.
Yeah,
I was wondering if somebody was going to take that.
Well, it's good to have some new ones on there, like Queen's Gambit and Soul. I feel like we're going very old school.
I thought we'd be really recency biased here, but you know, we did our research.
No, I had some member berries going on when I was researching, so I'm like, I remember this one. Like, this is cool. Like, I want to mention this.
I feel like everything I researched was like, I didn't see any of this.
That's also fair. So, yeah, so that wraps up your draft, Jordan. You feel good about it?
I feel good with the fact that, like, if you told me that these are the only things that I could watch in 2020, the only one I'd be sad about is Mandalorian.
Gotcha. So that's fair. And right now, looking at my list, 1 through 4, I'm really impressed. Yeah, like you told me like this is all I have in my DVD case, and also do people have DVD cases anymore? I don't think so. But those were always cool. My uncle had a DVD case. It was so badass. It like it revolved by itself, like pressing a button. Like it was so like in the future of DVD cases. So the shout out to DVD cases. So I was between a couple, and I wanted to put something new on there that I thoroughly enjoyed that I talked about last week, and that was Ma Rainey's Black Bottom with Chadwick Boseman and his last movie he made. Like I said last week, it really got the emotions going, just knowing it was his last movie and know how good of an actor he really was and appreciate what he did for movies and how he got into his role. And I just thought overall, and Viola Davis was awesome too. And just a great movie, and I think this is the only movie I have on here, so that's probably one of the top movies I've seen all year, so I'm very happy with that pick, getting it at my number 5.
Yeah, that was I wanted to try to see if I could fit it in yesterday or today just to watch it in time for this. We ended up getting Wonder Woman and Soul in time, but we just did not get to that, so
I figured I'd get it with my last pick. I don't think you guys saw it, so I figured I'd get the nice value on that. So I'm happy with that pick.
As you should.
That's a good pick. When I was doing the research, I kept seeing that come up. Now I need to go watch it.
Yes, I was happy with it. And yeah, stuff. Like I saw some lists. Like it had like 52 out of like it had like the way back with Ben Affleck and that basketball movie. Like, oh, I had him. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like.
There are so many movies when we were researching this that I'm like, I have never heard of this. Like, I don't even know what this is.
People try to get too creative. Like, one that I saw on there a lot that was getting 100% review was, like, Dick Johnson is Dead. Right. Never heard of it, but it's like...
Esquire has it as number one.
Yeah, so I don't know. Some of these lists they put out there, bullshit. I think ours is more... And looking at all of ours is more of a real look at what 2020 actually was.
Right.
Not just like some kind of creative artsy look at a list.
So how many more do we have here?
We have one pick left. One Producer pick. Tim has one
for relevant. And then I want to get more into that. I just didn't want to cut Tim off.
Well, the one pick that I was going to go with that I didn't think you were going to go with allow me to do, and I don't think I'm going to actually choose it now, is actually the most recent Star Wars that was released in theaters.
2019.
It's 2019.
It's 2019. Fucking horrible.
But the only reason I was going to say that is because it's the last movie I saw in theaters before COVID eviscerated theaters forever.
You mean if they never come 2020?
Back, that's the last thing I will have ever seen in a movie theater.
Oh.
But not really. I'm just kidding. But what I'm actually going to go with is Borat.
Okay. Yes.
So, but I wanted to put that out there because, you know, given the times, that was the last one I saw in theaters.
Yeah, I was trying to think of my last movie I saw, and it had to be Captain Marvel. I don't remember.
I think that's what you said
after that.
Previously, you've mentioned that was the last one you saw, which is crazy. That was seems like forever ago.
Yeah. I do miss a good movie theater, but I don't as well. So, like we said, we did two episodes, one miss what we miss about movie theaters, and another one of what we won't miss about movie theaters. So, it goes hand in hand, but I do like the pick of Borat 2, and I think it was, like I said, wrapped up 2020, showed us what 2020 was all about with politics and COVID and all this other junk, and it was really a good blast from the past with the Borat character.
For sure.
Really.
So Tim,
oh, go on,
no, sorry, I was changing topics.
Yeah, do it.
Did you? So you asked us before we started recording if we've seen Tenet, but you have seen it.
No, I haven't seen it.
You have not. Okay, so that's another one where I'm like, ugh, I wish I kind of would have seen that before we made this list. Yeah. But I'm like going through Esquire's, you know, top 50 movies of the year, and I'm scrolling from one backward. I'm now at 26. I haven't seen any of these, and here's 27. Yeah. Borat subsequent movie film. So that's 27. But I tell you,
these lists that they made, I looked at the Esquire one too, I think, and they're all very artsy, crafty films, and
yeah,
I think people are being too cute with the list, not really putting real movies on there.
Well,
so,
at a certain point, I feel like by now we would have. Or close to now, you kind of knew what you were getting as far as like the Oscar-heavy films. But because everything got pushed back, they pushed back the Oscar nominations and everything. So I feel like they would have had to have been released in theaters by now, but I would have seen some of those and been like, okay, like this is an Oscar, you know, movie that I know is really good. I don't feel like I know any of those yet, which I could look at this list and say, okay, these are movies I need to watch. Like you said, you saw, I'm thinking of Ending Things. Like that's number three on this list.
I saw that. That was the Charlie Kaufman one.
It was you that watched that. Okay.
That one was pretty, you should watch it, Jordan. You think you'd like it actually. It's a bizarre movie. That's how I'll describe it.
How bizarre.
Okay. So yeah,
I heard that it's a really good book.
The second movie on here that I've seen is all the way at 49, and that is Emma, and I hated that movie.
Yeah, that's just the nature of the beast, I guess, with ratings and films and what gets nominated, what doesn't get nominated. It's all...
Yeah, Ma Rainey, 54.
Yeah, I'm like, what the... Like, it is what it is. So, I do want to go over notables. Anything that you guys have in your list that... you didn't get to pick that you kind of were on the fence about picking in your top five?
Let me see. I really liked Auntie Donna's Big Old House of Fun the more I thought about it, but it wasn't fun enough for me to put it in my top five. But it's definitely, it would be a top 10 pick.
It's just so wacky. Yeah, it almost is too wacky for a list like this. Like, for notables that I enjoyed watching, but would never even, it wouldn't come like top 10. Like, our movies like The Hunt, King of Staten Island, Eurovision, The High Note. Like, these are movies that are like, oh, they were fun to watch, but they're not even close by top of my list. Just like, because they weren't good. They were just like, okay, I liked watching it. It was fine.
I could not bring myself to watch
King of Staten Island.
No, I watched that one. That one was good. What was the other thing you said?
Eurovision? Oh,
Eurovision.
The Hunt?
Yeah.
Eurovision.
There's some good songs in that. I enjoyed it. So, but those were not on my list. One item I was going to pick that I don't know if you were allowed, but I was going to put TV pandemic specials like South Park.
Okay,
Park
yeah.
Rec, like Chuck did one, you said. Community did a table read. Like everyone
yeah, Chuck
different.
Was a table read.
So, the table reads were a thing, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that was going to be one of my things I picked, but I thought it was too broad and I didn't want to pick just one, so I was going to make it a whole thing of it. So that was one. I had the John Krasinski show. I forgot what it was called. It was called like The Happy Place.
Oh, Some Good News. Some Good News. He did a Some special recently for Christmas and The Rock was on it.
Came, nice. And then and did I did put Good Place Season 4. That was in 2020. I put
Yep, that was one that
I put Dash Five Bloods with Chadwick Boseman. That was a good movie that kind of snuck by pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And I put Money Heist. Money Heist was one of the favorite things I saw, but it was a subtitle show where it was like a different language and they were speaking over it. So I know people didn't like that. And I didn't want to put my top five. I wanted to somewhat pander, but also it would have been tough to put in my top five based on the subtitles or the voiceover for a show. But I enjoy it very much.
It's called dubbing. But yeah. Dubbing. It came across kind of mean. But yeah, that's what it's called, dubbing. There was just, for a year where there wasn't a lot, I think it was a year to go back and watch what you missed.
Yeah. And that's why some that's of the stuff. Exactly what I did. Yeah.
That's why creating this list for this show was hard, because I was like, what did I watch that was produced in 2020 this year?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, man.
No, exactly. And then, producer Tim, do you have any notables that were not, that didn't make your cut?
One thing that had like a small moment that we didn't talk about and wouldn't make the list, but Social Dilemma, that documentary that came out that was talking, I mean, it got me to delete the apps from my phone. So it at least had some impact on my life in 2020. I've downloaded some of them back because I realized that I use them more than I get value out of them more than the movie says. So, or the show says, but that was something that a lot of people at some point were telling me to watch and I ended up watching. So when we said 2020, that's something that popped into my head.
No, that's good. And then, so to recap the draft, I will just go team by team. Jordan had Ted Lasso, Palm Springs, Umbrella Academy Season 2, the last season of Schitt's Creek, and Soul. Tim had Dave, Mandalorian Season 2, Mythic Quest, Trial of Chicago 7, and Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. And producer Tim had The Boys Season 2, The Last Dance, Tiger King, Queen's Gambit, and Borat 2. And I think that off the list, if I'm looking, I think producer Tim wins this one.
Hmm.
I don't know. I think Jordan's is up there. And then you also have... You have The Mandalorian, so that you should be up there for probably a lot of people.
Yeah, we're all winners in this book, but like I say every episode, I'll put it on Twitter, but I never do, so maybe this time I will. Who knows? What? Maybe New Year, New Me, where I post something on Twitter for those. Oh, actually, I got logged out, so I need to log in.
Oh, that's right. I had to update the password. My bad.
Oh, so that's why I didn't do it. That it was.
Oh, sure. That's right. Yep.
So hey, we've reached the big time. We got hackers trying to take down our social.
No, it's just one of those things that like it was. There was like a huge data breach recently, so I've been trying to update every password that I have.
There you go. So, since I am going to pick the winner for now, I picked producer Tim. So what we're going to do? We're going to do a little trivia. So, I have. One trivia question that's going to be the tiebreaker that's more based on a number. Then I have four questions that are actually trivia questions with an answer. So I have four categories. Producer Tim, I'm going to let you pick the first one. It's either you get to pick from Tiger King, grossing movies, Chicago Bulls, Last Dance, or Dave the Show. You get one trivia question from one of those shows. You get to pick which show you get to pick the trivia question for.
I will do the Last Dance.
The Last Dance. Okay. Producer Tim, your question is, for the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan berated one player on the Bulls all the time and always gave him shit. What player was this and he wore number 24?
Scott Burrell.
That is correct. Jordan, would you have known that one?
Nope.
That's good. So Jordan, I guess that was a bad pick by Tim, but also good pick.
Yeah, maybe I should have left that for Jordan to answer.
Yeah, so, all right, Jordan, you get to pick out of grossing movies, Tiger King, or Dave.
I'm going to go... I'll go Dave.
Okay, and also I wrote these questions. I didn't look them up online. I kind of pulled them from my head, kind of. So they're not worded the best. So stick with me here.
All right.
In the show Dave, what YouTube quote goes viral, making Dave a viral sensation?
Oh shit! I don't even know. I remember the scenes, and you know him going in the library and doing it.
Yep. Okay, you're gonna pass.
I have no idea.
All right, producer Tim, do you want to guess?
No, I don't know. I didn't realize we could pass. I didn't realize there's an option.
Oh, it's not a pass. It's more like a steal, a fake steal. So,
I don't know. I have no idea.
The answer is somebody suck me. it's great. It's fantastic. I remember for a thing it was like a group chat thing for me where we would just say somebody suck me, and I was always get good laughs, get a good reply from it. So. All right, we're back to producer Tim. Get to pick from Grossing Movies and Tiger King.
I'll do Tiger King.
Okay. For Tiger King, Joe Exotic, he ran for mayor, or I think it was governor, I don't know which one it was, for what state?
Oh, well, mayor is a city. Governor is the state.
Okay,
so we run for governor or mayor. Are they Oklahoma? Oklahoma.
That is correct. Which makes it an impossible lead for Jordan to come back from.
Yeah.
He's down 2-0. So
just
Jordan,
give me the last one.
Grossing movie. The movie was the highest grossing movie of 2020 and was third of this trilogy movie series.
The Croods.
No, I don't even know what that is.
No? Damn. For some reason, I thought that was... somebody said that was the highest grossing movie.
The Croods, never heard of it. So, producer Tim, for Steel, do you want to guess?
The most recent Star Wars.
That is incorrect.
Didn't come out this year.
So,
it's still going to gross the most in this year.
So, the answer, because this movie came out in about January, so it had ticket sales.
Oh, and it was God bad, bless
Boys,
it.
Bad Boys for Life. So it's Bad Boys for Life, which is very unexpected. So the tiebreaker question, and I'll let you guys both guess it, and it's the one that is close to our hearts, is when this pandemic started, we decided to get back into podcasting and kind of get distracted and confused back up, or distraction, whatever you want to call it. So what was the return date of the podcast distraction or distracted and confused, the first episode back?
Holy moly.
I'm going to say April 15th.
Okay. Producer Tim?
I think it was March 13th.
March 13th was a great guess. The answer was, where is it? March 18th.
What? We brought that. I thought we... Oh, I'm off by a month of when we actually got quarantined.
Yeah.
I thought it was March. It was not March.
March 13th, yeah. So that, or March 18th.
We were quarantined in February, the end of February?
No, it was March.
No, it was like, I thought it was like the first week of March. I didn't think we
came. March 13th was like the mid-March was when we went into like the very first quarantine.
Lockdown, yeah. And I didn't think we started the podcast up that fast.
I think we're just bored. Like, hey, we're not doing anything. Let's just start podcasting again. So
yeah, we had to pause so that you could celebrate Tom Brady.
Yes, that was awesome. Yeah, now we're here, and Tom Brady is a Buck, and he threw for 4 touchdowns in 1 half, and he's in the playoffs, and the Bucks haven't been in the playoffs in 13 years, and look at us go. Who would have thought? Was that Paul Rudd gift from this year?
Who would have thought? Yeah, not I think me. So. Yeah, not us, right?
That was what I would have made that in my top 5 possibly, too, because that was a great, great, whatever you want to call it, GIF or short video that I would send out to everybody.
Great, great, great.
So, producer Tim, you're the winner, so you get the shout out either guest or Brie Larson. That's all you get. So,
no. Oh, the shout outs go to the go to the guest.
You guys all shout me out, and I just sit here and celebrate.
Wait, what, Jordan?
I wrote that as only the guest gets to do shout outs, and then you get to shout out Brie Larson every week, and that's it. We sign off.
Oh, that's lame.
I thought that you guys gave me shout outs as the guest.
All yeah, right. Shout out to the
shout
guest.
Out to shout Tim. Out to Tim. Shout out to Brie Larson, and see you later.
Shout, Shout out back to you guys.
No, and then stick around for our Wonder Woman spoiler review.
I'm excited for that. Actually, no, I haven't seen it yet. I was about to listen to it without even watching it, but I'll wait and watch it and then give my opinion next week.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hi, this is Teacher Ashlyn.
And Teacher Tim.
Here to talk about
Wonder Woman 84.
Because we have lots of thoughts about it.
So first off, we'll just go with initial reactions.
Watching this movie was just very incredibly disappointing because it started off strong and I was so excited to see it. And I love Gal Gadot. And is that how you say her name?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, well, Gadot. I don't know. I love her. Great cast. Super exciting. And just like, it was like watching a slow, terrible train wreck that just got worse and worse. And near the end of it, I just remember like looking at Tim and saying something like, oh my God, like I need this to be over. It was crazy.
I was glad to hear that because I, about halfway through, would have stopped the movie. But I just decided to shut up and let Ashlyn enjoy it if she was enjoying it. And I was kind of speechless at the end. So, yeah, initial review was just, this movie is bad. And then I asked Ashlyn, Teacher Ashlyn, can you remember watching a worse movie in recent memory or in all of our history?
The Nun was really bad. Don't watch that movie.
The Nun was bad, and that might contend with this, but nobody expected, we didn't expect The Nun to be good.
Right. This definitely had higher hopes, especially because I liked Wonder Woman 1, and it was like the whole time watching it, I just kept hoping for some redeeming parts, and it just gradually crumbled more and more to nothing.
All right, so let's go with some peaks then. We're going to do peaks and pits. So what are the high points?
I thought the cast was great. I love Pedro Pascal?
Mm-hmm.
Kristen Wiig is great. Gal Gadot is amazing. And I thought like that there were lots of like shots and scenes that you could like watch parts of and appreciate them. I also love the intro. I love anything on the island where she is from and like seeing that kind of, I thought that intro scene was really cool.
Yeah. I guess for me, the peak is that we didn't have to pay theater pricing to see this. That it was just available streaming. And we fortunately were sharing an account to watch this on HBO Max.
There's nothing you liked about it?
No, but I would echo the same thing. I think actor performances were on par. They were fine. Gal Gadot seemed good.
Chris Pine.
Chris Pine is still hot. But a little bland, I would say, in this movie. But I think for the lines he was given, he did fine. And yeah, the opening, I guess the first half of the movie was fine. The setup, the concept, the flashback sequence, even though it's a little cliche, with, you know, forcing this story or this lesson that Diana had to learn about truth. It seemed forced, but it was still, I guess, within the realm of decent superhero filmmaking.
And I think you're right. The setup was good, and I did appreciate how there were moments where it's like they tried explaining why does she have an invisible jet or, you know, stuff like that, that I appreciated that they had like reasons for some of these things.
You mean as far as like the actual, the what people know and love about the character of
people
Wonder Woman.
Like Wonder Woman flies an invisible plane, and it's like, that's random. So to have that kind of, I thought that was a cool ode.
Mm-hmm. An homage.
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 Ah.
Okay, how about pits?
Oh, no. Okay. So many. But I don't even know how to express in words the pits. The pits being that the story made no sense. There was so little explanation, and it was like jumping from point to point. Things were completely illogical. It's almost like, too, when you mess with something like time travel, which they didn't really do, but like how there's just like so many pieces that don't make sense. That with this whole movie did not make sense. I hated how they just rushed the cheetah thing. Why? I don't understand why Chris Pine embodied another man and essentially stole his life. That was weird. Just bring Chris Pine back. And the whole wish thing was just like, I felt like I was watching a weird movie about Santa Claus and like children making wishes, and then there's nuclear bombs and then Wonder Woman, and like none of it made logical sense.
Yeah, it seems like they knew where they wanted to get to, and so they forced it just with this unpredictable ripple effect of wishes, this like out of control that it just spun so out of control. And you're right, that's a good comparison to like time travel, that it creates this like this I guess infinite realm of possibilities.
Yes.
With no predictability, and not in a good way.
Well, and how many of those wishes could have contradicted each other? Like, we even talked about that, like people wishing for more nukes. There are people there protesting who probably wished, I wish there weren't nukes.
Right.
And like, I wish I could bring this person back. So what, that kills another human? And what about that human's wish? Like, it just...
I guess you could maybe argue that that's part of the point, that ultimately what this stone wanted was chaos, right? And so I guess when you have contradictory wishes, maybe there's not supposed to be this predictable pattern, and it's supposed to be like, or, you know, everything descends into chaos.
Whatever.
But yeah, it was just from a logical standpoint, there was no logical standpoint.
Yes.
And then the climax, I guess the confrontation of the villains was just Gal saying, I renounce my wish, as if she just knew that would work. Like her realizing she had to give up the thing she loved most, which was Chris Pine, and that she just knew that this would somehow undo her wish and that would restore things back to normal, and that all of a sudden now it's clear that she needs to get every person to undo their wish, and that, hey, everyone undid their wish. What the
right,
hell?
Right, like it, as if everybody would actually do that. And she also wasn't even that shocked that he was there in the first place. That should have been a way bigger red flag.
Other pits, I guess all the other questions you would leave with after watching this. One, why is this? I mean, I love cats, don't get me wrong. We have a cat. but to go say that I want to be the alpha apex predator, the strongest, most powerful being, and she gets turned into like a human-sized cat.
I did though see something about how like that doesn't actually match the comic storyline about that character development. And so I just think they did a terrible job explaining why the cheetah.
Yeah, why the cheetah? So, and if she was all powerful, if the genie is actually granting her wish, she just gets like electrocuted underwater and that like subdues her, but Wonder Woman's fine. So,
and why do they have to change her face and make it weird CGI? Yeah, it was weird. Awful.
It was bad. And then what were Max Lord's limitations? Like, it was like he was on a whim granting their wishes, but then saying, but fine, I'll take your army and I'll take this and I'll take that. It's like they make these wishes
melting
unknowingly
from the inside, like blood was just coming out of all of his orifices.
Right. So they had to show some sort of, you know, visible decay for his being, but for him to just be able to like grant the wish and then set the terms of the wish after the fact. And everyone's just like, oh, well that sucks. Okay. That sucked. And then I guess that leaves us with like grades or ratings. How would you grade this?
The DC movies have never been good in my opinion. And I thought Wonder Woman, the first Wonder Woman, was like the best of the DC movies by far. Mm. Thus part of the reason for my extreme disappointment. Mm-hmm. So amongst them all, I don't know, it kind of fits in the middle. But in general, it's not a movie that like I would recommend to somebody.
Fair. Yeah. I mean, I would recommend it just to see what type of reaction this elicited from someone else. Because if someone said this was a good movie, I would have some serious questions.
Or maybe if it's a movie somebody wanted to have on in the background and not pay attention.
Sure.
If you didn't pay attention to the plot, it could seem like it was a good movie.
Yeah. Yeah. In general, I think after watching the movie, you asked what I would rate it. I think I guessed a 6.2-ish, but would probably give it like a 4 on my own.
Yeah.
How about you?
Maybe like a 5.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess compared to other DCEU movies, it was surprisingly worse than expected. You know, like you mentioned, just kind of being a fall from the first Wonder Woman, which I didn't think was amazing, but I thought it was the best in recent DCEU film. So,
yeah.
Overall, not good.
Disappointing.
Disappointed. All right. And that is all I have to say about that.
Bye.
Bye.
Lord, I'm confused. Is this a happy ending or a sad ending?
It's an ending. That's enough. My love.